IGTV.
How many times have we talked here about Adam and Christ, the two representatives of the human race? As in Adam, all are dying. 1 Corinthians 15:22. Thus also in Christ shall all be vivified. Adam and Christ. And as I've said many times, everyone else can just get out of the ring. The fight, the prize fight of all time is between these two because they are representative humans. As go the fortunes of Adam, so go the fortunes of the entire human race. And as go the fortunes of Christ, so go the fortunes of the entire human race. I have good news for you that you will not hear in any Christian church at any time. And that is that Jesus Christ won. He's the winner. It's right there in Romans chapter 5. What Christ did was much more than what Adam did. What did Adam do? He ate a piece of fruit and condemned the whole race. One bite, one piece of fruit, everybody's shot to hell. Well, to death, to sin and death. Shouldn't say hell. Kind of said it as a joke, but you never know. There may be some Christians looking over your shoulder. Martin Sander believes in hell. No, he doesn't. Well, it depends on which hell you're talking about. Hades, Gehenna, or Tartarus. That's a separate conversation. One bite of one piece of fruit, and all humanity, because it was an act of disobedience. It was an offense to God. It was a sin and an offense. And on the other hand, we have Jesus Christ suffering for 6 hours on the cross, having been humiliated beforehand by his enemies, sold out by his friends, just beaten within an inch of his life, then nailed to the cross naked in front of his family, friends. And I'm told that the act of taking a bite out of a piece of fruit has more profound consequences, reaches more people than 6 hours of suffering of the Son of God on a Roman stake of execution. This is outrageous, outlandish, and outdated as far as our beliefs are concerned. Thank God we have come into the truth. Truth that Adam is not equal to Christ. A better way of saying that is Christ is greater than Adam. I'm Martin Sander. Welcome to MZTV. And the whole point of this is to say that we are inert spectators to our fortunes. We are looking on as we change hands. Oh no, look at that, we're in Adam. Oh, now look, we're in Christ. What are we doing? Nothing. You're just not that damn important. Who is important? Adam and Christ. All right, having set that stage, Adam represents what is called the old humanity, and Christ represents the new humanity. So, just as these individuals, these two human beings, Adam and Christ, just as they represent everyone and everyone's fortunes are tied up in them, thus also the old humanity and the new humanity includes everyone. It includes them while not requiring their active participation. Your active participation was not required to bring you into the condemnation of Adam. And your active contribution is not required to bring you into the justification and the life immortal of Christ. You say, well, Martin, what's the place of belief? Well, belief says that when you hear what I'm telling you, you say, oh, that makes sense. That's fantastic. Christ is greater than Adam. I love it. That's where belief comes in. Belief acquaints you with a fact. It's not like the Christian religion that says this is not a fact until you believe it. Jesus Christ is your Savior, they say. We say, oh, well, okay, let me decide if I want to believe that or not. They say, oh, no, you don't understand. If you don't believe it, he's not your Savior. Wait a minute. I'd like to know whether he's my Savior or not. I mean, what's my status? And then they have to would say, well, I guess he's really not your savior. At which point you would say, well, why would I want to believe in something that's not true? And then they say, well, it can be true if you believe it. And then you say, well, but it happened 2,000 years ago. Is it true or isn't it? Well, it could be true. You say at that point, what do you mean it could be true? And they say, well, the truth of it, and then they can't finish the sentence because they're all befuddled. And at this point, you make a disparaging remark about them. Like, I'm totally wasting my time listening to you because obviously you don't know what you're talking about. I'm going to go watch MZTV. And then off you go into the land of further enlightenment because we believe the scriptures. We believe that belief acquaints us with truth. Belief never makes an untrue thing into a true thing. That's ridiculous. Either is or it isn't. Am I saved or am I not saved? Oh, yeah, you probably want to say that to the person who vexes you in the manner I just described. Am I saved or not? Well, yes and no. The right answer is yes, you're saved. But I didn't do anything yet. That's correct. I didn't even believe yet. That's correct. So what you're telling me is absolutely true. That's correct. Well, I'd be stupid not to believe it. That's correct. You see how easy evangelism is? All right, now, on the old and new humanity, let's go to Ephesians 4, verse 22. I'm seeing this in a whole new light. In Ephesians 4, now Paul begins to talk about the behavior of the saints. This is Paul's habit, and in his letters, he goes from doctrine to behavior. Or if you like the alliteration, he goes from doctrine to deportment. The first couple chapters, well, actually in Romans, chapters 1 through 11 are doctrine, and then 12 to 16 are deportment. In Philippians, we get to deportment in chapter 4. Ephesians, we get to it in chapter 4. But Paul always lays out the truth first, independent of anything you do, because the truth is independent of anything you do. And then later, he says, you know, based on this truth, why don't you act this way and act that way? But here we have a specific instruction on behavior in Ephesians 4:22, and isn't this remarkable? Paul says, according to what you were taught, in verse 21, according as the truth is in Jesus, Paul says, put off from you as regards your former behavior. So he's talking about these are former idolaters. And Paul says, now I want you to put off from you your former behavior. And then you would expect him to list some of the things. You're smoking, drinking, bowing down to statues, you know, worshiping idols, sacrificing your children to Moloch, and things like this, you know, staying up too late. I mean, all these nasty sins, but he doesn't list them at all. Listen to what he says. To put off from you as regards your former behavior, the old humanity. What? He says, put off from you, and he doesn't go into individual sins, your individual failings, all the things you did in the past, and he knows these people were dirty people. Their history is sullied. Instead, he says, put off the old humanity. And what do any of these people, or what do any of us have to do with the old humanity? Romans 6, the old humanity was crucified with Christ. And any time someone wants to engage you, like we said yesterday, like I said yesterday, with individual sins, you resort to the new humanity. You resort to what we're going to see what we resort to. We resort to a certain way of thinking that acknowledges that our sins have been put as far away from us as the east is from the west, and that there is no way we can come into any condemnation. So listen to this now. Put off from you your former behavior, the old humanity, which is corrupted. So he's saying that Paul is saying that the old humanity is corrupted, which is true. And the remarkable thing is he's saying that about, not about them, but about the old humanity. So in a way, he's letting them off the hook and saying, it's not your fault, it's the old humanity. And the old humanity will still, like a voice from the grave, the voice of the ghost of Christmas past, it will attempt to stake a claim on you. But it is a liar. The old humanity is a liar. It has been put to death. It is indeed the voice of a ghost. It is the voice of Satan, who is, John 8:44, a liar and the father of lies. So Paul says, as regarding your former behavior, and they're going, oh no. Paul says, no, he says, put off the old humanity, which is corrupted. He's putting the corruption on the old humanity. Now, what do you do if you have a computer file and your program is telling you the file is corrupted? I know it's the worst news you can hear. I'm a writer. I know I have things that I've written and it says this file is corrupted. It's like, oh, crap. It's ruined. It's got like a virus in it. It can't be redeemed. It can't be opened. And you just have to give up on it. It's corrupted. It's broken into pieces. That's what that word means in the Greek, broken into pieces. It can't be put back together. So the old humanity is corrupted. Listen to this. In accord with its seductive desires. Paul is saying it's the old humanity that has the seductive desires. You see how he's giving these Ephesians an escape route? He's not even holding them accountable for even their past behaviors. He says, yeah, there was a lot of seduction going on, but that was the old humanity. So he's passing over them and looking to the true cause of it. The true cause of failure of flesh is the old humanity. That's the true cause of it. And the true cause of that is Adam. We come back to Adam and Christ. The true cause of your failures of your flesh is Adam. That's the true cause. And you go behind that and say it's God. I don't have any problem with that, as you know. And the true cause of any righteousness we have, or any good thinking we have, any good behavior we have, any fruit we have, is Christ. It comes down to Adam and Christ. And just look at this, how Paul is just skipping over them and saying concerning their behavior, it's just the old humanity, but it's corrupted in accord with its seductive desires. That's just so great to me, and it really jumped out to me today for the first time. It's like, wow, its seductive desires. And then he says in verse 23, yet to be rejuvenated in the spirit of your mind. And as I've said over and over again, Paul's evangel, Paul's gospel is all about the thinking. It's all about coming to a realization of the truth, to a revelation and realization. You will not find these words, I'm not saying they don't exist in the circumcision writing, but I'm not saying they do. It could be that they're not even there at all. I looked this up once, I forget, but overwhelmingly, the words realization and recognition and revelation, especially realization and recognition, are found in Paul's 13 letters. Because Paul, and I always suspected this before I even knew that Paul had a separate evangel, Paul is saying these outlandish things that God now sees us as justified, that there's a new humanity, all things are new, and God's no longer considering us according to flesh. That's what this is a confirmation of. 2 Corinthians 5. Paul says, let us know no one according to flesh. If we have known Christ according to flesh, we know him so no longer. And Paul doesn't want us to know anyone according to flesh anymore, including ourselves. So this is, again, a corroboration of that truth. The flesh is just, whenever you think of the flesh, think of, that's the old humanity. That's the old humanity. And it's corrupted. What do you expect it to do but corrupted things? Because of its seductive desires. And even Paul says in another place, Romans says, it's sin operating in me. In Romans chapter 7, it's no longer me doing the things I don't want to do, but sin making its home in me. So he's actually giving himself a pass. He's saying, it's not my fault. What do you mean it's not your fault, Paul? The law said, thou shalt not covet, and it produced in you all manner of coveting. Paul says, well, it was sin operating in me. Sin, capital S, the power. The power. What are we supposed to do against this power? What are you supposed to do against being born in Adam? What are you supposed to do about that? You have mortality coursing through your veins. What are you going to do about it? You're going to be rejuvenated to make young. That's what that word means in the Greek. I just looked it up. To make young, rejuvenate. The root word there is juvenile, young, to be rejuvenated. The young mind, in the spirit of your mind. Again, this is a comprehension thing. And here it is, verse 24. Check this out. And to put on the new humanity. Put it on. How do you put on the new humanity? What, you put it on like a pair of underwear or a pair of pants or what? What? You put it on in the same way we put on the armor of God. Remember, it exists. You just put it on mentally. You consider yourself this way. Put on the new humanity. Because the new humanity can be put on and put off. It can be. It can be put on and put off. It doesn't stop it from existing. Just like grace can be put on and put off. You can operate in grace, meaning you're just basking in it. Or you can put off grace and imagine in the stupidity of your mind that you have to earn your righteous standing with God. That is actually putting off grace. But here Paul's talking about putting on the new humanity and putting off the old humanity, which is corrupted. It's corrupted. It can't be gotten back into. I mean, the only way you could get back into it is in your mind. You can't actually reactivate it. You can't actually, because it's corrupted. But your mind is so powerful that if you dwell on it, if you think about the corpse, if you think about the voice of the ghost, that then it's going to affect you. But it's none of it's real. None of it's real, but that's how powerful the mind is. That's why Paul says, be rejuvenated in the spirit of your mind. In the spirit of your mind, be rejuvenated. Put on the new humanity, which, still in verse 24, in accord with God, is being created in righteousness and benignity of the truth. It's being created. It's ongoing. Like I said yesterday. What did I say yesterday? I was talking about the active. I was talking about the incomplete verb form. Oh yeah, being nullified. This body of sin is being nullified. It's an ongoing thing that we're constantly glad about, and this too is an ongoing thing. The new humanity is being created in righteousness and benignity of the truth. How is it being created in righteousness? In accord with God. This is so far beyond anything we could manage to put together. I mean, God is the author of the new humanity. He's the author of it. It's completely in accord with Him, and it is being created in our lives as we walk in righteousness and benignity of the truth by Him. And then Paul says, wherefore, put off the false, in verse 25. Put off the false. And what I've been telling you is that old humanity, any old humanity thoughts are false. Put those off. So you can see, this is a game, if you will, of realization. That's what it is. It's like you're sitting in a chair and you're realizing things. That is Paul's gospel. Paul's gospel is effective while you're sitting in a chair. And you're either putting on in your mind the young that is coming to a realization that there has been a new humanity created by the death of Christ, something magnificent and awful / magnificent that happened before you were even born, and to think about that and to appreciate it, or you hear the lies of the old humanity, of the Adamic humanity that is long the hell gone. It just doesn't exist anymore. In fact, it's false. That's what Paul says. Put off the false. And then he says after that in verse 25, let each be speaking the truth with his associate. That's what I'm doing here. You're my associates. And let each be speaking the truth with his associate, for we are members of one another. We are members of one another. I love that truth. And here we are talking about these vital things, and we're talking about the work of Jesus Christ. We're not setting out our work. We're setting out the work of Christ, and we are directing the spirit of our minds. I don't care how old you are. You could be 99 years old, but you are rejuvenated in the spirit of your mind. You're thinking young. You're thinking new. And this is nothing you could have accomplished. It's something that Jesus Christ accomplished. This is the truth. Like Paul says in verse 21, according as the truth is in Jesus, according as the truth is in Jesus, put off from you as regards your former behavior, the old humanity, which is corrupted in accord with its seductive desires, yet be rejuvenated in the spirit of your mind, and put on the new humanity, which in accord with God is being created in righteousness and benignity of the truth.